السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. نحمده ونصلي على رسوله الكريم، أما بعد. اللهم إني أعوذ بك من زوال نعمتك وتحول عافيتك وفجاءة نقمتك وجميع سخطك. رسول پاک صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم, because of his love for the ummah, he taught us everything, anything and everything that will benefit us in this world, in the grave and in the akhirat. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam taught us. He left behind for us such teachings that if we have to implement them in our lives, then they will be beneficial for us from the worldly point of view too, and from the akhirat point of view too. It's not that he only gave us teachings which are beneficial for the hereafter. For a Muslim, this world makes his hereafter. Everything that he does in this world, simple little things, mundane things, those things also, if he does it in accordance with the Quran and Sunnah, it becomes ibadat. There's no other deen and no other religion in which eating, drinking, sleeping, conducting your business, earning a halal livelihood, everything becomes ibadat. So with regards to these du'as which we are doing Fajr time here, if you have to look at them carefully, you will find that there is benefit for us in reading these du'as for this world also and for the akhirat also. We are seeking protection of all the ni'mats. Now in those ni'mats, the ni'mats of this world, the ni'mats of the akhirat. If we have to, for example, make salat, then it is a ni'mat. It's a bounty of Allah Ta'ala. The person has got tawfiq of making salat. The person is making zikr, tilawat, ibadat. All the other things he is doing in accordance with the Quran and Sunnah. So now that is a bounty of Allah Ta'ala. There are so many people who are deprived of this. And it's not because Allah Ta'ala wants to deprive them, but it's just because their nafs and shaitan does not allow them to come towards ibadat, zikr, tilawat, namaz. There are so many we have seen with our own eyes. They are Muslims. They are building masjids. Or they are trustees of the masjid. And they will be supervising the construction while the masjid is building is taking place. But they don't get the tawfiq of making namaz. At the time of azan, you'll find him driving away in his car. How many we have seen like that? In many parts of the world we have seen that at the time of the construction of the masjid, we are around there and they will say that this masjid is being built, so and so is the trustee of this masjid, or these are the people, they are the builders of this masjid, and they are Muslims. But when the time of azan is taking place, that's the time the person is gone. And you will find him come after lunch or some other break and start again with the construction. So this tawfiq of making the salat is from Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. Therefore we have to keep begging and asking Allah Ta'ala for a protection of these ni'mats. That when the person is making it, so now he must ask for a protection. And if it is going to be protected, then it will make his akhirat also. So Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam is teaching us those things which will help us in this world also and in the akhirat. So we have done the first three parts of this dua. Allahumma inni a'udhu bika min zawali ni'matik. We asked Allah Ta'ala for protection of these ni'mats and these bounties, that they must not vanish, they must not be snatched away, they must not be taken away from us. There must be no zawal in these ni'mats. And also there must be no tahawul in the afiyat, in the well-being. Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala must not cause a kind of reversal. Allah Ta'ala must not cause a kind of reversal in these fortunes. وَتَحَوَّلِ عَافِيَتِكْ وَفُجَاءَةِ نِقْمَتِكْ. And we discussed the third part. Of course, we have to go into details. We can carry on the whole year. The third part we discussed where the sudden coming of calamity, the sudden coming of azab of Allah Ta'ala, the sudden coming of some misfortune. Now that shakes a person up because he was not prepared for it. The person had all his eggs in one basket. He was expecting so much. But suddenly some calamity strikes and everything is gone. the person's whole life comes collapsing, crumbling. And that's when people say, I wish I could take my life. Why? They start getting suicidal tendencies after that. Why? Because they think that now there's no life beyond this. They had put all their hopes and trust, everything in that fortune of theirs. Whereas a person, if he's got trust in Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, then he will never ever give up hope. He will believe that that Allah who could give it for the first time, cannot he give it again for the second time? Why must he lose hope? Why must he think of taking his life? Who gave it to him the first time? It was that Allah who gave him the first time. He can give it to him again the second time. Material things are not things on which a person's life depends, that now if it is snatched away, then that's the end of the world. Millions of people have come to this world and they lived on half a loaf of bread or dry crumbs, but they survived, they still lived. So this is the temporary world. It is a transitory life. If you go to Bombay, and even here, I don't know very much about the trains, but there if you go, you find when the time comes for the train to take off, or even the buses when they are taking off, you will find so many of them jumping on top of the buses, or they will cling on to the rails there, or they will try and somehow jump on, even if it means squeezing. And if somebody has to tell them, wait for the next bus, they say, no, it's just a matter of a few miles from here. What's there? Guzarni hai, guzar jayegi. Don't we say that it's just a few miles from here? Why wait for the next one now? Whether it's comfortable or uncomfortable, as long as we can make it home. So in the same way, this world, the time will pass in the state of poverty or in the state of wealth. Allah Ta'ala has given us intelligence, He has given us hands, feet. We must make use, make of these means, make an effort, go to the marketplace, go and earn a living. But if, in spite of our efforts, Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala does not give us what we have in mind, then make sabr, time will pass. So this sudden coming is a very dangerous thing. So we ask Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala for a protection from that. And now we come to the last part. وَجَمِيءِ سَخَطِكِ. All kinds of displeasure of yours, O Allah, we seek protection from. Any kind of displeasure, any kind of annoyance, we asking Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala for protection from that. Because the anger of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala, we're saying, oh Allah, anything that makes you angry, that makes you displeased, that annoys you, we are asking you for protection from that. If you look at the dua of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, he says, Allahumma inni as'aluka ridaaka wal jannah, that I ask from you your pleasure and jannat. Wa a'udhu bika min sakhatika wan nar, and I ask you for protection from your anger and the azab of Jahannam. So in this dua we can see that first he's asking for Allah Ta'ala's pleasure and then Jannat. First he's asking for protection from the anger of Allah Ta'ala and then the azab of Jahannam, the fire of Jahannam. Showing that the anger of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala for a believer is worse than the anger of the, is worse than the azab and the punishment of Jahannam. Because when Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala is pleased, then He makes things work in our favor. Don't look at the outside conditions. I've repeatedly told you that. That we must not look at the outside conditions. Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala, He works in the favor of that person when He is pleased with that person. And that pleasure of Allah, the first area that feels that pleasure of Allah Ta'ala is the heart. That happiness of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala, the person will feel in his heart. The heart is the airport. The landing strip of that pleasure of Allah Ta'ala is the heart. In the same way, the anger of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala, the first area that the person will feel that my Allah is angry, if that person has got a little bit of spirituality, the first area that he will feel that my Allah is angry with me will be his heart. That is the place where there will be either that pleasure or that displeasure of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala felt. So we are saying, O Allah, and after that of course you will see the effect of that in everything else. one wali of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, he says, whenever I disobeyed Allah ta'ala, and of course their disobedience was not the kind of disobedience that we make, but in accordance with their status, what they considered as disobedience, he says, whenever there was some disobedience, I saw the effect of that disobedience even on the horse that I ride. That horse which gives me a comfortable ride, but if I disobeyed my Allah ta'ala, even that horse becomes rebellious. So if the horse takes effect from our disobedience of Allah ta'ala, then if our children take effect, what is there to doubt? The complaints that we are making today, children are disobedient, wife is not giving me happiness, wife is complaining, the husband, I'm not having any kind of happiness and satisfaction. The clients are complaining, the managers and bosses are complaining, everybody is complaining, the governments are complaining, the citizens are complaining. That disobedience of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, the effects of that are felt throughout the society after that. Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala creates that kind of rebellion. And we don't even know that what is it that is causing this. Sometimes it is not the punishment of something that we did right now. It is the punishment of something that we did 5 years ago, 10 years ago. And we don't even remember what we said and what we did. And we didn't make sincere tawbah from that sin. And if it was the right of somebody, then we did not ask that person for forgiveness. So then the azab of that we experience later in life. The person stole somebody's goods. Then he made plenty of tawbah in the masjid. Plenty of istighfar. And then he made hajj upon hajj. And he made umrah upon umrah. And he cried at the multazam. And he recited salat and salam at the Rosa Mubarak and shed tears there. But he didn't return the goods that he stole. He didn't return the monies which he was owing. The person that he caused injury and harm to, he did not ask that person for forgiveness. Now 5 years later, 10 years later, down the line, this haram takes away all the other halal also. Because he changed his life. He changed his life now. But what about what he did for the past number of years? There were some certain things that were huququllah, huququl ibad, the rights of Allah Ta'ala. There are many things that he said, Allah Ta'ala will forgive that. There are many things that he did, Allah Ta'ala will forgive that. But when it came to the rights of others, they did we bother. Or when it came to zakat, now the person made plenty of tawbah this year that no, from today I'm going to give my zakat. Alhamdulillah, Allah Ta'ala will accept the tawbah. But what about the zakat that was not given for the number of years? So then 10 years later, if some bala comes and takes away all the wealth, then we say, but I'm making namaz, I'm making zikr, I'm making tilawat. Or many a times ladies and even men, they will sit and talk. Why? Because they read in some newspaper some article, or they heard from somebody, or some rumor was circulating, and they believed in it firmly. So and so did jadu and so. So and so committed rape and adultery. So and so did this and so did that. It becomes a gossip. Without any solid information, without any proper judgment or ruling, nothing. Just because it just appeared in the paper, now we are talking. Now 5 years, 10 years later, when somebody accuses us of something that we didn't do, then straight away we say, but this is total injustice. I never did a thing like this. How is it that I am being accused? This is slander. But we forget that that is exactly what we did 5 years ago and 10 years ago. Or when somebody was talking about someone, we also supported that person, that yes, that person is like that. And whereas we did not know what was the condition of that person. After some time, when the truth comes out, then we say, no, we were mistaken. This is not true what we were believing in. So therefore we are asking Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala for protection from His anger. This anger of Allah ta'ala we can see in the Quran Sharif. We are talking about the Quran Sharif, read it and see. That all these nations of the past, when did azab come upon them? When were the people of Nuh alayhi salatu wasalam destroyed by flood waters? When were the people of Musa alayhi salatu wasalam, or when were the people of Fir'aun drowned in the Red Sea? When were the people of Lut alayhi salatu wasalam, Sodom and Gomorrah, the land was taken right up to the skies and turned around. And when they came falling down, then again stones were thrown at them, showing the anger of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala when they indulged in homosexual activities. So the anger of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, when it was unleashed, then the greatest powers of the world couldn't resist and they were destroyed and they disappeared from the surface of the earth, never to rise again. So the anger of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, we are saying, O Allah, jami'i sakhatik. Anything, O Allah, which makes you displeased, which makes you angry. And we must not think that this is some fantasy world that we are talking about, that where is that Allah that he will get angry. And when Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala gets angry, then as I said, superpowers Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala destroys. Just look at recently what is happening in America. With all their might and power and being a nuclear power, everything they have. But when Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala sends the rains or sends the snow, or when some other calamity strikes, then they say there's darkness. There's darkness throughout. Hundreds of thousands of people are without light, without water, without food. In where? In a place where they say that they, it's a land of plenty. But nothing comes to their rescue. Allah Ta'ala is just showing it to us that if you become obedient to me, then you don't need too much of weapons, you don't need too much of arms and ammunition. Whatever you have, if you are going to use it, Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala will destroy the enemies. Because if he can shake them up in this manner, the ground that is beneath their feet, who does it belong to? Can anybody say that it belongs to me? And I've got full control. If Allah Ta'ala shakes it, what is going to happen? And how many times we have read that everything came to a standstill. The aeroplanes cannot take off. The ships cannot move. The trains cannot move. Why? So much of snow that everything is at a standstill. Just one little force and power of Allah Ta'ala, snow, and it paralyzes everything. So Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala's anger is something which we must ask for protection from. But when we are saying, O Allah, give me protection from your anger, then what should be the natural corollary, or what should be the conclusion? What should be the effect of that dua? The effect should be this, that we should then stay away from those things which make Allah Ta'ala angry. If a person is saying, O Allah, I want protection of my wealth. I want protection of my wealth. And what is his wealth? That he worked very hard, he did a lot of deals, and he saved 100,000. Now this 100,000 he is going to take to the bank. So he is asking Allah Ta'ala first, he is making dua. Before taking it, he is saying, Allahumma inni a'uzu bika min zawali ni'matik. Now this 100,000 he has to go and deposit in the bank, so he made dua for protection. Now what must he do after that? After he made the dua, now must he put it in one carton and take it open to the bank, show everybody across while she is walking on the street towards the bank. Now he's got 100,000 there in the box, and everybody is watching that he's got 100,000. Why? Because he made a dua that, oh Allah, must protect this. So now he's taking the carton to the box, the carton to the bank, and open. You think he'll walk a few meters? Within a few meters, inshallah, there'll be nothing left there. In spite of his dua, within a few meters there will be nothing left there. So after he made that dua, now again he will try to protect it and safeguard it to the best of his ability. He will wrap it up in newspapers or in whichever way they try to camouflage. But to take it to the bank now, he is going to use the route which is safe. And if it is very big amount, then again he is going to phone the bank manager that I am coming, make sure that somebody is there at the gate to receive me. All kinds of arrangements he will make, or he'll have a security with him. So although he made the dua, but he is making all these arrangements and is taking all these precautions. He does not say, and we haven't heard any sensible person say, that because I made a dua this morning, Allahumma inni a'uzu bika min zawali ni'matik, therefore now what fear do I have? I am going to take this money open. All these diamonds and these pearls and these jewels and these gems. There is no need for security. Now if I have to post it somewhere, what must I worry about registering and insuring and all the rest of it? The person makes use of the means of protection. So in the same way, from the anger of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala, we have to make use of the willpower which Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala has given to us to stay away from all those things that make Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala angry. Not just the reading of that dua, and we say that we made a dua, oh Allah, you must not become angry with us. But we do everything that makes Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala annoyed and displeased. Then if Allah Ta'ala unleashes His azab, then who do we blame for that? So the anger of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala, Allah Ta'ala's rahmat, Allah Ta'ala's mercy, Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala's forgiveness is unlimited. Allah Ta'ala is very, very merciful, very forgiving, very kind, very generous. If it had not been for that, all of us would have been destroyed long ago. But when a person becomes persistent, he does not want to give up those sins. Those sins have become so enjoyable that he goes out in search of sins. And when anybody tells him that this is not right, this is haram, this is forbidden, you must distance yourself from these sins, then he becomes displeased. He becomes displeased and angry. He does not think that my Allah Ta'ala is becoming displeased, he becomes angry. Nasiha mat kar nasihat dil mera ghabraye hai. Nasiha mat kar nasihat dil mera ghabraye hai. Main samjhu hoon unko dushman jo mujhe samjhaye hai. This is what the person says. Nasiha mat kar nasihat dil mera ghabraye hai. Oh, you who want to make nasihat to me, don't make nasihat to me, my heart begins to palpitate. I consider him as my enemy. Main samjhu hoon unko dushman jo mujhe samjhaye hai. The person who is explaining to me with love, with affection, he wants to see me enjoy the best of this world and the akhirat, I consider him to be my enemy. May Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala give us the tawfiq to understand these du'as. Give him the tawfiq to understand the teachings of the Quran and Sunnah and implement it in our lives. And not just listening, implementation is the key word. Then we will see the benefits of that. We will see the fruits of that in this world too and in the akhirat. May Allah Ta'ala bless us and bless the entire ummah of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam with the best of dunya and the best of akhirat. And that is the best of du'as that you can give to anybody. رَبَّنَا آتِنَا فِي الدُّنْيَا حَسَنَةً وَفِي الْآخِرَةِ حَسَنَةً وَقِيْنَا عَذَابَ النَّارِ. It's a very comprehensive du'a. So therefore, if you don't have enough time, then that's the du'a. We just say, Ya Allah, give the ummah the best of this world and the best of akhirah. In that everything comes away. Then you can expand when you have the time, go to make lengthy du'as for the ummah and for ourselves. May Allah remove the difficulties, hardships, problems of the ummah and bless them with the best of dunya and the best of akhirat. Inshallah, if Allah Ta'ala gives life, health and another opportunity, then we will continue tomorrow. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alamin.